It's like a super serious Super Mario Brothers. We saw Jupiter ascending, so you know what that means.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while ripping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with Speed 2 hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Games and Street Fighter help to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado to Birdemic, how we staying alive, they call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause a bad Jim Varney looking kinda nice. Paul and June getting literal, Jason is getting laid, June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid, they judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am your host, Paul Scheer, joined as always by my co-host, Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
And more like, hello, people of Jupiter. Oh, yeah.
Or people of Abraxas.
Oh, boy. I am terrible, having just watched this movie.
You were cramming it in the other room.
Yes.
Stopped on the way here to finish the last 15 minutes.
I watched
minutes.
It partially while driving here in my car, which is like super dangerous.
I was telling
you. Can you imagine getting into a car accident watching Jupiter ascending?
Probably be a transcendent experience. I told our guests, which you'll meet in a second, that I rented this movie three times.
Three times. I rented it three times on my TV,
yep,
on my phone,
yep,
and on my computer.
I did it the exact same place.
I have given this movie so much money.
We're going to make it profitable.
I should have just bought it.
For those of you, I 100, because then at least you got the iTunes extras. For those of you wondering.
Which I'm definitely digging in on.
Oh, got to get in
gotta
on
get
those.
Them extras.
Got to see that EPK.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, we have so much to talk about. I don't want to get into what could be in there. June is not here because June is in Bangkok. Bangkok. She will be back shortly.
Sexual holiday, Paul? Is
yes.
She on a sexual holiday?
June likes to go to Bangkok and get her groove on.
You guys, it's like a lot like Stella got her groove back, but it's in Bangkok.
And it's really dark, really weird, and yep. Violent.
It's like your relationship. There. You guys' relationship is so accepting.
We're open. It's like Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith, according to Howard Stern this week.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
A very...
Fantastic interview.
Amazing interview. Anyway, we have a very special guest. We have two guests to fill in the void today of June and our guest. And I'm calling this a Wolf Pop special crossover episode because both of these guests have amazing shows on the brand new Wolf Pop Network. If you have not listened to that, you should definitely check that out. But I'll introduce them both. Please welcome Franklin Leonard, who is the creator of The Blacklist, a website that highlights the best in scripts, and also now the host of the Blacklist podcast, which also highlights the readings of the best of these scripts.
That's right. Thank you for having me.
Very excited to have
maybe
you.
Maybe not. Thank you.
Yeah. How'd you like this? How'd you like this, Franklin? Huh?
Yeah.
Is this as good as the movies that you normally highlight on the Blacklist?
Hopefully, no.
I was hoping that you would be like, you know, this actually was a Blacklist script.
It was not a Blacklist script. As I told Paul, thank you for turning my Make-A-Wish into a nightmare.
It's a real double-edged sword when you're asked to be on this show, because as excited as one might be to be a guest, it does mean you're going to have to slog through something.
Well, I begged to be on the show, and yeah.
But by the way, I would rather you be on this show than one that's kind of mediocre. Like, this
absolutely.
Is, there's so much
there's
talking
so
about.
There's so much here.
Oh, yes.
Our second guest also has a hilarious Wolf Pop show called Picking Favorites. Please welcome Razzle Dangerously.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Your show is all about picking, like, basically you pick a category and everyone kind of picks their favorite thing.
Yes. Yeah. So it's me, David Coleman, Zachary Levi, and Tyler Labine, who, if you're into movies and all of that, you've seen them in lots of movies. We sit down with a guest and we pick, you were on it.
I was, yes.
And we pick three random categories. Ranging from a category.
Like, give me an example.
So I think
I was going to say we're going to be like favorite Jupiter sending characters. Like, everyone had to pick their favorite one.
So we could do a given episode could be favorite Wachowski's movie.
Yeah.
Favorite fast food restaurant and favorite road trip you've went on with your friends in high school.
Got it.
Type of event.
So
and then
it.
We it's
who wins? How do you win?
It's just
how do I win this show?
There's you come
okay,
in
here
with
we
a
go.
Knife.
Here we go. And Bound. What was the favorite? It was a road trip.
Road trip.
I did a cross country road trip alone once. I listened to one of the Harry Potter books on tape, which was 26 hours long.
Wow, nice.
So am I winning this one?
You're very winning.
I don't remember what the
like
third category
was. 9 points right now. It's a really fun chat fest. And then if I can real quick also plug, I have another podcast on the Nerdist Network called Today We Learned. And it's a podcast where we chat about random facts and trivia.
It's a nerdist podcast.
I will also say, I mean, we're talking a lot about other podcasts. I will say that Franklin's podcast, the Blacklist one, Jason and I are in the inaugural episode called Balls Out, which, if you like comedy, is, I think, a really funny script, and you should check that out.
Absolutely. You're in the first four episodes,
technically, so it's
because it's four episodes that it takes to read the entirety of the script.
That's exactly right.
It's a great script, and it's super funny. Lots of funny people reading a very funny script that's never been produced.
But this script was produced. Now, this movie...
Also very funny.
I'm going to try to do a new thing. If you've not seen this movie, this is how IMDb explains the movie.
It's
very succinct, and it goes, a young woman discovers her destiny as an heiress to the intergalactic nobility and must fight to protect the inhabitants of Earth from an ancient and destructive industry. Boom.
Is that what it's about?
I don't know. Because
I guess I understand that's accurate.
There's so many adjectives that it confuses me.
Yeah, I guess I understand that is true. But wow, it really doesn't even scratch the surface of what is truly, like, just confounding about this movie.
I thought that when you watch this movie, it's like opening up Dune on page 350 and going, all right, make it work.
Spice.
I'm like, what? What? Yes. Yeah. I'm like, and every character doesn't seem introduced.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also a lot of, in this movie, there's a lot of, you know what? This is the kind of movie that begs huge exposition pieces that are just not provided.
There's only one that I can remember, and we'll get to it too, but there's only one main one, and it goes on for, it seems like, pages. Just so you give an idea of what this movie is like, the original script, well, they say the script, not even the original, the script was over 600 pages.
Come on now.
That's what they said.
600 pages.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, there's so many characters that have one line. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's so many aliens in this movie. And this, one thing that pissed me off about this movie is they're like, none of them looked anything alike. They were all a new form of creature and a new alien with human features with maybe a weird nose or a weird haircut, or weird ears. Like, that's it. They're like,
I thought it was like the studio. It was like Paramount Studio let out and it was like, oh, that's a character from Star Trek. That's a character from Harry Potter. That's a character from, this.
It's absolutely.
Like Dune, Mad Max.
It's like the whole movie is like that.
I mean, The Graduate is in there. It's crazy.
It's like the end of, do you remember the end of Pee-wee's Big Adventure when he's walking around the Warner Brothers backlot?
Spoilers for Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Spoiler alert. He walks around Warner Brothers parking lot.
Yeah, and that was a hard thing to wrap my head around. Like, and some of the creatures look... I mean, I was thinking about this for people who've listened to the show. Super Mario Brothers came to mind in a very big way.
Well,
I mean, dinosaurs running up. Hey, you got my leather jackets.
Giant lizard men wearing leather jackets.
But not even just that. They also had wings, which means they had to cut holes in the back of their leather jackets for their wings.
I don't get... characters with scaly skin wanting to wear leather jackets. It's like me wearing a flesh jacket. It's, I got it. I already got this. Oh my gosh,
man!
This movie, I really want to start at the beginning.
Yes,
but I really don't want to.
The opening sequence. It, to me, is the most...
With Maximilian Jones?
Yes. Maximilian Jones. I wrote it down. Maximilian Jones. All right, they're trying to build up sympathy for Mila Kunis's character. Her
plight as an illegal immigrant.
Oh, yes. What was going on? All right, so, her mother and father are having this, really fun relationship, and then...
In Russia.
Then, almost comically, people come in, gangbusters.
Kick the doors down. And rob them for no reason.
And it's
never explained, right?
No.
You never find out whether they're just
rolling. They're just gangsters.
These robbers just really liked telescopes.
Yes.
Right.
Go telescope. Yeah. We must get the ghost telescope.
And so they get robbed, right?
But they rob it. It's like, just to underscore, It's comical. Yeah. It's not dramatic. It's like it's almost sloppy and crazy to such a degree.
Is like this. The whole movie is even in beats that are meant to be emotional weight. It is moving simultaneously too quick to land and too slow for anything real to happen. The movie exists in like a time paradox. Like I couldn't, sometimes I was like, everything just happened so quickly and so largely that I the emotional beats didn't land, but I think this has been going on for 2, 4, or 6 hours.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure what time means right now.
There's no time, there's no concept of time in this, and there is and they talk about time, but as far as how long each thing takes,
like,
was the robbery literally 20 seconds?
I mean, that's how it was played out.
And then she's on a boat to America, because that's what you do when you're 8 months pregnant. Is,
you get on a cargo ship.
You get in a shipping container like The Wire.
And it's presented like, I felt like it was presented like old-timey, like, we have to go to America. But that's like, what, maybe it's like 20 years ago.
And one thing that confused me is, so they were living in this apartment with the gold telescope.
Yeah.
Then this dude gets robbed. They steal his telescope and murder this dude. Other than what, does the mom just lose all their money and does she lose the house?
Oh, yeah, that's right. They had a lot of money.
What happened to their house that she lived in? Why did she need to travel across the globe on a shipping crate?
The script says she needs to give birth in a shipping container in the next scene. So that's what they do. This is where we're at. She literally has a baby in a shipping container on a cargo ship, and then cut to Mila Kunis scrubbing a toilet.
By the way, it comes back a lot. Talking about scrubbing toilets.
That's true.
And looks like she's doing a great job. A really solid.
That whole, like, they did that cleaning montage to show how bad her life is now. None of it was like she was fluffing pillows. She was dusting pictures.
Right, in really nice places.
She was
She's a high-end maid. Even though she slept in an army-like bunk situation.
Oh, with her whole family.
Which I called the Russian clumps.
Yes.
especially at the end of the movie. It's just like this hodgepodge of like weird Russian stereotypes.
Hercules.
Yeah. Well, can we also just talk about her name? I mean, Jupiter Jones.
Jupiter Jones. It's like a bad Stan Lee comic.
Yeah.
One of the new ones.
We got Pam Anderson as
a great Pam Grier character. It's one of the two. I'm not sure which.
Yeah, I have a question about her. I don't even know how to get into this. So when they find... I'm jumping ahead. So let's just keep going. Jupiter Jones, which is Mila Kunis' character, is going to donate her eggs so that she and her cousin can split some money.
But that cousin also not set up, right?
Not set up at all. I think the term you're looking for is harvest her
eggs. Yes, and that's what they say. Harvest her eggs so that they can get 15 grand. She gets 5, he gets 10. Then she doesn't go through with it. But wait a second. Oh, right.
We don't even know about these egg donation plants until after
the first alien
the aliens
encounter,
are looking for them.
And the aliens are This is
they're
what I'm
looking
confused.
For the other girl, right?
No, they're looking for her. But why are they looking in egg donation plants? Like, oh, maybe one day she'll harvest
her
eggs.
First of all, though, they look for her at her friend's apartment.
Cleaning.
No, they get the name.
I think I understand this.
All right.
So she goes in, she uses Catherine Dunleavy's name when she goes in to donate her eggs.
Correct.
So they think her name is Catherine Dunleavy.
Yes. Oh.
So they show up at Catherine Dunleavy's house at exactly the time that Mila Kunis is there to advise her on what to wear with this date to apparently the most eligible bachelor under 30 in Chicago or whatever it is.
I forgot about
and
that.
But she cleans this woman's apartment but is now like friends with her?
But And this is already after the aliens with the ships and the weird hair and the dude with the feather mohawk. This dude has a feather. This alien.
Whatever happened
has
to
this
them?
Shiny. He's got it. Well, they come
bounty
back.
Bounty hunters.
They're in Field of Dreams again.
They come back. They're in the Field of Dreams.
Yeah, but then after that, they straight up disappear.
I want to just back it up just a little bit because I'm understanding the logic. But again, I want to go. So
it's totally unnecessary.
She used the name Catherine Dunleavy at the egg donation place, but. Right. Why were they stalking egg donation?
I don't think it's just egg donation. I think it's like, I like to imagine that the aliens are just monitoring all DNA at all hospitals.
Okay.
Earth,
I buy
looking for this person.
But and by the way, these aliens are like, Communion, that movie Communion with Christopher Walken. Big head aliens, like the most generic alien that you would draw, like big eyes, like Roswell aliens.
They are grays.
Yes.
So, but So how did they know that someone on... That's what confuses me. How did they know that there is someone like Mila Kunis on Earth? Like, was her mom actually banged by the one dude? Like, if she's...
No, that's what confuses me. I think they're tracking every DNA in the universe
and that's what they
the
do.
Exact genetic match of the mother.
Okay. That's it. Like that's a recurrence. Yeah. Sure. Is that what they call it?
Exactly. So they're traipsing the globe... Any sort of DNA.
And then she gets her DNA tested, which she's probably avoided because she's an illegal alien, which is probably why they have to have the thing.
Sure.
And then they find her, and that's what sets this whole chain.
And that's also when we're introduced, the first time we find out about this. Yeah. That's when we were introduced to
Channing.
I also thought her cousin was her boyfriend. For a little bit.
I thought that for a while as well.
Yeah. Okay.
I also couldn't wrap my head around why... The first occurrence of the Grey's aliens are when they think Catherine Dunleavy, the friend, is Mila Kunis. And she's in her bra and underwear for like 10 minutes of the movie. Yeah. And they've got her like hypnotized and floating and they're spinning around. And Mila Kunis is watching it, right? And then she takes a picture of it.
Yes.
And then what I can't wrap my head around is then they mind wipe them. They Men in Black style mind wipe them.
Yes.
Right. And then they're both fine. Why?
But she still has it on the phone.
The photo,
no, but why do the aliens leave them alone?
Oh, right, because they should have just taken her right
Shouldn't
there.
Shouldn't they have taken either Catherine Dunleavy or Mila Kunis?
Or both? Why not take them both?
Well, because they tested Catherine Dunleavy and it came up orange, so they knew she wasn't it. So then all of a sudden the picture got taken. Why fucking just test this girl?
Also, let's talk about the fact that that whole situation is interrupted by the fact that her mom calls right at the moment when she's taking the photo, which is why the aliens that
So what, we're, what we are then introduced to is this idea that Earth... is constantly being meddled with by intergalactic aliens, bounty hunters, all these business people, all because the Earth is a harvest zone for human beings. It's like a farm. Yeah.
Because
right?
and this I will just like skip ahead.
This is
a
way
little,
ahead.
I'll skip ahead this day, because what I mean, I guess it's not a reveal, or should I reveal why they're harvesting? I don't know.
I mean, that's a very don't even know this till the end.
I mean,
right?
I guess
we don't have to reveal it, but suffice it to say,
they're harvesting something.
They're harvesting something from the Earth. The Earth. We find out that. Oh boy! Wow, I don't care. I really can't even be bothered. Like, okay. So, go ahead.
Well, So basically, aliens are here, but they can wipe everything clean.
Yes, they can. But they destroy this stuff. And when the aliens are trying to get her in the egg harvesting place, Channing Tatum shows up. He runs out. At which point, alien spacecraft arrive and start shooting up all of Chicago.
There's
also a Man of Steel level. Destruction.
But we got to talk. First of all, there's two moments that are worthy of conversation. First, let's just talk about Channing Tatum, who comes in as a rollerblading werewolf bounty hunter alien.
Albino.
Albino.
Werewolf. He's like some sort of lichen.
Channing Tatum looks like if MTV wanted to make a handsome remake of Spaceballs, he would be Worf. Or he would be Barf. He would be John Candy's character.
That is true. It's also, he's wearing these rocket boots.
Yeah.
Mario Brothers.
Super Mario Brothers. But it make it appear as though he is in a Wachowski's like space epic version of Starlight Express.
Oh, yeah. I thought about it. It is full on roller skates.
Roller skates.
But I got to talk about the roller skates because at no point in the rest of the movie is anyone else have these shoes.
None.
These are like the limited edition Jordans for the galaxy. And no one else has them.
And when he skates like a rollerblade. He's like, whoosh, arms
physics,
up and down. Yeah.
The physics of how those boots work, sometimes he's doing the roller skating motion.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're just propelling themselves without any. Right. And if they have thrust, logically, like I'm going to do the Iron Man card, there's no sort of other propulsion that.
It's all feet based.
So when he's propelling himself on the feet, how is he not just pushing himself into a circle?
Yes, you know I mean? Agree. Yeah. I agree completely.
The
skates are nonsense. Like at a certain, I feel like day two, Channing Tatum must have been like, oh no. Oh, I think I see what's going on here. And they're like, they've got him up on wires and they're just like, no, just make roller skating motions. So your hands are going side to side and your legs are pumping. And he must have been like, oh no, this is not good.
But I mean, I don't understand. These are all very good, or these are all in-demand actors, right?
Oh my God,
everyone
yes.
across the board in this movie is pretty much a respected actor. And they all are like, yeah, I like this. I like this movie. I'm in. And
I wonder
feel
if
like
this is one
all
of those
out
things,
of fear.
I feel like, I wonder if this is one of those things where they were offered the part in the new Wachowskis movie without a script. And everybody was like, yeah, I'm in. Of course, it's the Wachowskis.
You see, I think it would be like one of those things, like the famous story, like Will Smith, like sat down for the pitch of The Matrix. It's like, yeah, I don't get it. Sean Connery passed on The Matrix. Like, yeah I don't get it. You know, it's like people are just like, I don't get this.
Well, and then, I think you're afraid of it of passing on it and then it becoming The Matrix and you're just like, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, like, oh, I missed out on the next
it's
Star
like,
Wars.
I know better than the Wachowskis. Like, I'll just do it. Fine.
Because that's the setup. It is like a big Star Wars space epic.
Yeah.
You know, and some of it is legitimately gorgeous.
Oh.
Like on a
yeah.
crazy level of just beautiful space epic kind of all the ship design. There's a lot
the
of design.
Awesome.
The design elements are gorgeous.
I actually wish that I could have seen it like in 3D in a theater because that would have distracted from.
I kind of wish the movie was just the Wachowskis pitching me their storyboards because I have a feeling that that was the thing that sold all these actors on, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm in,
fuck yeah!"
Because it's like I feel they're like, "And this ship will be here. And there's an owl man, and the owl man knows the things about the Earth." And it's like, you know, I feel like that's what you would get.
This whole movie was like if you gave my 5-year-old nephew a Red Bull and had him tell a story. It's like, do you remember on Dude, Where's My Car when they go to that fast food and the Asian dude was just like, and then. And then, exactly this whole movie is and
then.
It's
like that Axe Cop?
But it's and then.
Although Axe Cop, written by a 6-year-old, now probably an 8-year-old, is a more cogent piece of storytelling.
100%.
How about this? When
and there are dinosaurs in that, too.
Yeah. when
they know better than to wear leather jackets. The dinosaur is wearing, like, a motorcycle. I could
Which
talk
means
exclusively
that,
about the lizard wearing a leather jacket well, for hours.
I mean, because it begs the question that then there must be a store
yes.
where they go to buy that. There is a place of commerce.
There must be.
What
do
you got?
I mean, Wilson leather is all over the world.
Yeah, exactly. You have to figure that, to your point, that there are so many, there are no repeat body types.
Yes.
Every individual is a uniquely built alien life form. So
and they're all humanoid.
Must be impossible.
Yes.
Stores must
be. Were you an owl man or are you a giant
lizard
dragon?
Guy is over what there. Kind of, owl guy is over here.
It's all custom.
It's just all tailors in space. Everything's custom made.
It's all custom.
What about when Channing Tatum rescues her and they're on the top of the roof and he turns the boots on and he's hovering like 8 inches above the ground. Mila Kunis says to him, "Are those flying boots?"
Yeah,
like he's hovering 8 inches up.
Yeah, I think the exact line that follows that
they
is
are.
Up is hard, down is easy.
Yes.
And it's like, yes, that's called gravity.
Which is also another, which is familiar to the other line from the cousin who says, profits are up and shit goes down. A lot of ups and downs. I will say that I want to talk about, just to get back to Jason's thing where he said, so yes, she's rescued from egg harvest and then arguably nothing happens for a very long time, 13 hours, because she's asleep for 13 hours.
Right.
Channing dresses her and they're just hanging out at the top of a building. She wakes up and begins this is what I call like Mila Kunis just being cool as shit. Not ever really affected and just kind of like, I'm in.
She really, and she must have been directed this way because there are a number of enormous mind-blowing, like earth-shattering reveals
literally.
That happened to her.
Yeah,
that she is legit nonplussed by.
Yeah, she's like, well,
she is at one point later. She is referred to as Your Majesty, and does not question it.
Yeah.
People just start referring to her as royalty, and she is just like
she immediately falls in love with Channing Tatum for no reason.
Yeah, exactly.
For no reason.
I don't want to speak out against, you know, interspecies love or anything, but I feel like, that was weird. But, I mean, the Your Majesty thing, I mean, bees, come on.
Oh, the bees.
Bees can sense royalty.
Bees sense this royalty.
Bees
game recognizes game, and so...
and are bees royalty?
No, but they obey a queen.
Queen.
They obey a queen.
So definitely the Nick Cage is not a queen in in Wicker Man because the bees attacked.
Yes, that's true.
So we know that now.
Well, and then to agree with exactly what you're saying, none of this like phases her, right?
Nothing.
Mm. And then when they meet Sean Bean and he sprays this healing spray on Channing Tatum's cut.
Like, that's amazing.
She's like, oh my God, that's amazing. It's like, bitch, you just fought aliens through Chicago and that didn't
destroyed the entire city.
Destroyed the city.
Right. And then it was rebuilt instantaneously.
And what amazes you is a healing spray.
Wait, I gotta go back to a few of these things because they destroy the entire city for like 20 minutes.
Like Man of Steel style.
Right, and it's like, oh, we just zap everybody. They're not gonna remember. But the photo stays. If that should happen in any city, people would have video of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Not
even that. Also, people would die.
They're not being reincarnated. Do they bring everybody back to life?
I don't think
so.
I just think you're supposed to forget they ever existed.
Thousands of people must have. Tens of thousands of civilian deaths must have occurred in Chicago.
It was an epic battle.
Oh my God, the Sears Tower was destroyed. Like everything was absolutely.
And there was no sign of police helicopters.
Or
news helicopters.
Well, that's the other thing. They're shooting into buildings, right? There's shots from within buildings where space fighters are blazing through, crashing into buildings, shooting. You never see another person.
No.
You never see human beings.
Well, it's nighttime.
Yeah, but here's the deal. I lived in Chicago, and there were way more lights on and all of those things. There should have been people prancing around. At least a janitor. At least give me the Ghostbusters scene where there's like a maid cleaning. Yes.
I would have liked to have seen just all janitors get killed. It was the night well, they just killed janitors exclusively. I thought, you know, a lot of people go like, sometimes in these movies, a snarky comment is like, oh, it's just like a video game cutscene. I will go the opposite and say, this is actually like a video game. Like, I was watching the action scenes. Like, this feels like I feel like Halo.
I remember thinking, like, the game version of this would probably be a hell of a lot of fun to play.
Yeah.
There was one scene where one of the bad guys is chasing Channing Tatum, who's got his rocket roller skates on, and is blazing through Chicago with Mila Kunis, like, dragging Mila Kunis, like, by one hand.
Yeah.
And they go underneath the subway, the elevated train, and the ship comes and shoots every train car of the subway train as if to shoot it would make gold coins pop out of it, like in a video game. It was so... Like, it was so purposefully, like, and that car, and that car, and that car, and that car. And I was like, people must be on those subway cars.
Yeah.
What is happening right now?
It is. By the way, we did talk about the casting and why people said yes. There are some people who were smart. Natalie Portman got wind of it and dropped out. And then Rooney Mara, was in as a replacement for a moment and then also dropped out.
Interesting.
So they were like, nope, nope, nope. Channing Tatum, this is a little facts, Channing Tatum had to wear a mouthpiece to change the shape of his lower jaw, and it prevented him from closing his mouth, and that's why he has trouble talking throughout the movie.
What?
Like, just don't make that a character
trait. Yeah, why, you know what, maybe we wouldn't fuck up with the mouth.
He has to be a wolf.
Yeah.
The look is more important than him talking.
He needs a mouth guard and a Guy Fieri goatee.
Just talk about his name also, Kane Wise.
Yeah.
So obviously, Cain being a reference to both the fact that he's sort of marked by God and sort of cast asunder, but also he's a lone wolf.
Yep. I didn't even think about that.
It's just so on the nose.
And they, like, don't they even say, like, at one point, like, oh, one of the best lines of dialogue in the movie, she's like, he's like, I'm more dog than you.
Yeah.
Right. And she's like, I like dogs.
She says, I love dogs.
I love dogs.
And he looks like he's sweating the whole movie, right? Like,
she says
that shiny.
I love dogs. I've always loved dogs. It's and then he leaves and she says, again, to herself now, I've always loved dogs. And in that moment, you can feel her being like, this is a person who continuously tells us she's never been in love before.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then just falls in love with this alien,
half wolf.
Half wolf, half humanoid, roller boot wearing, rocket boot wearing.
She should be afraid. He's a half wolf, half humanoid. Who used to have wings.
Yes.
Right.
Who used to have, that's true.
And by the way, we should also just bring up the point that it's not even that she hasn't found love. It's that she always loves the wrong guys.
Oh,
and
that's right.
Let's listen to this speech about her genetic makeup. This is one of my favorite pieces of the entire movie.
We all do things we can't explain.
I said it was in my genes. defect of my genome engineering.
That's a great one.
Could explain a lot of things about me. Like the fact that I have an uncanny ability to fall for men that don't fall for me. It's like my internal compass needle points straight at Mr. Wrong. Maybe it's my genes. Maybe I have defective engineering too. And if that's the case, is there any way to fix it?
I have more in common with a dog than I have with you.
I love dogs. I've always loved dogs.
I mean that, by the way, kudos to them for delivering those lines that well.
And they are doing something in that. I'm so glad we played that clip. They're doing something in that clip which pervades the movie, which is people speaking to each other in what is best described as a whisper. Oh. People having conversations in legit stage whispers.
Well, I mean, led by the
Eddie Redmayne's character, only whispers.
Academy Award winner.
In the same year he won an Academy Award for playing Stephen Hawking, he turns in a performance which is Nicolas Cage level insane.
I would also say that he kind of gets it. Like, I feel like he's like,
really?
No, I feel like he knows exactly what's going on.
I think he's like, I'm going to do this.
Yes. Like, he is committing to a big, he's taking a big swing.
Well, yeah. let's play Eddie Redmayne so you can hear his big swing.
He is the villain. It's just so you know.
One of the villains. Okay,
just, yes, to understand what's going on.
You guys got to explain that to me because I have no idea.
We're going to have to get into that.
Just very quickly before we play the clip, just so that we understand. What we find out, what we find out is that the Earth is one of the planets that is owned by a family of three siblings
I thought it was two brothers and a sister. Oh, the sister too.
Yeah.
Shit, I forgot about
that. They own all these different planets and solar systems and so forth, and that they were all willed them by their dead mother, right? And they
Who was 90,000 years old?
Who was and
11,000 years
old. And that's Mila Kunis, who has been re-genomed, or her DNA has come back.
Reincarnated.
Yeah, her exact genome sequence is the same as the mother, and it's reoccurred, and that is why.
And which makes Mila Kunis the rightful heir of the Earth.
And I would argue.
So she now owns the Earth, is what's explained. But all the siblings themselves want the Earth because it alone is worth more than the holdings that they privately have.
Right. And we find out the reason why they need the Earth, and we find this out here, is that they. I guess they kill everyone on Earth and then make it into some liquid and then they become young.
Yeah, like the Matrix.
Regenics.
Yeah.
It's like the Matrix, but I feel like the Matrix is machines use humans for like energy.
Yes.
Right.
This movie like is batteries. Aliens use humans for like
skin cream.
For Botox.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a transition that's not the best.
But then also it's like, but here's my thought. Like there's no, if you're writing this, there's no difference between the three siblings, right? There's the two brothers, they're both evil. One's not better than the other. And the sister, I guess, is not super evil, but she's kind of evil.
That's what confused the hell out of me as the two of the siblings are like super nice to Mila Kunis's character. Like the brother wants to marry her.
But only to kill her.
Oh, he wanted to marry her
because
and then kill
once
her.
He marries her, will inherit the Earth if she is to die.
Okay, and then he was going to kill her. Then do what? Because it sounded
then
like he
inherit
wanted
the Earth.
But it's his whole speech about keeping everybody alive was just
so she would marry him.
Okay, and then what about the sister? The sister was just
I think couldn't marry, so she didn't really.
She just wanted her on her side, I guess.
I think the sister was trying to maybe be good.
And then what about this?
It was hard.
Well, how,
by the way, just so we know, we are talking about. Balaam, Titus, and Kalik.
Yes.
I wouldn't have been able to tell you
I couldn't tell
any
you
of their names.
And they all say, like, I'm Abraxas. They're all Abraxas, but they're all like, yeah. Oh, God.
Then, okay, so we have the three siblings, right? When we meet the two brothers, they look young and handsome and whatever. We meet the sister. She's old as shit, right? Then when she meets Mila Kunis, she takes a bath and she gets super young.
Yes.
Like,
well, we also see Eddie Redmayne do that as well. See? When we meet Eddie Redmayne, he has gray hair, he's old, and the siblings make fun of him for looking old. Then he's the first person we see take a bath and turn young.
But see, I thought that was Channing Tatum because it was sort of like he was coming out of. They only did it from the back.
Yeah. Oh,
and I was like, who is coming out of the bath? And I was like, oh no, do they need to like travel through space?
Yeah.
Through baths, and then
oh my god!
I was like,
baths as teleportation.
I thought they get into a bath and then they come out another side. Like,
I was surprised that's not different
than him.
We have to get across the universe. Get in the bath.
By the way, these aliens only have figured out like shitty elevators. That's all it is. Yeah. It's all like light elevators. Like, yep.
Speaking of that, I'm glad you brought that up because I have a note here that says they're all about incognito shit, right? They have invisible spaceships. They can make themselves invisible and all that. They have this ship in Chicago that's invisible, so it can't be detected, but they have this bright as hell teleportation light that is just like, hey, everybody, look at this giant beam of light leading up into nothing.
It's like when the Twin Towers, when they would just shoot two giant lights.
Too soon.
Oh my gosh, I just thought maybe that's how the aliens were getting up in New York.
Do you think 9/11 was caused by space industrialists?
Exactly.
Well, that goes to the whole idea of how are they harvesting these humans? Why are we so overpopulated on Earth if they're legitimately
They haven't done it yet. Other planets.
That's why, remember when they go to that first planet where there's no people and there's like abandoned cars and so forth?
I call that the Tomorrowland planet because it actually looked exactly like the movie Tomorrowland.
Where the siblings first meet in the first act with the blue powder on the
ground.
That was a planet that they had harvested, so there were no people anymore.
So they're waiting for us to overpopulate the Earth, so they can get maximum value and kill everybody for their farm.
Correct. All right, that confused me because the way they were talking.
I don't know why you were confused. It's very clearly explained in the movie,
and that's what I'm talking
JK,
about.
JK, I had to watch a video. I watched a video that was basically explained this movie in 4 minutes because I was so confused.
I had no idea. I thought that was Eddie Redmayne, like, the two siblings were on that planet just prancing around, and then Eddie Redmayne, like, square teleports, like, he walks through a weird, and then he's just there.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was like a fake chamber, like a holo cube, like in Star Trek, that they were just using to chat.
That was what I thought it was.
I thought it was just where they had meetings.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought that they weren't really there and you could.
Yeah.
I mean, but again, it's like opening a book in the middle and going, because it was like, okay, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, we have not, there's no, besides Mila Kunis, there's no real proper introduction to anybody. And the only time the movie stops to take a break for exposition is really clunkily when Sean Bean shows up and just is like loading a gun. And goes,
you mean Stinger?
Oh, yeah, Stinger.
Who owns bees. Who and this is bees? My other question. Wait, is he half bee?
Well, why did he have all those bees?
He has all the bees. His entire house is covered in beehives. And this is what I was trying to figure out is... When I tell you his entire house is covered in beehives, his entire house is covered in beehives. There's 1,000 bees surrounding the house at all times. And Mila Kunis shows up and she's like swatting at the bees, like, get out of here, bees. Yeah. Guess what? You don't swat at bees like that, especially when they're in a cloud around you.
She doesn't know any better.
But then she starts like flapping her arms around and the bees like follow her and everybody's like, whoa, you're the queen, right? Bees respond to royalty. Now, does Sean Bean have all those bees to see if royalty shows up?
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But that's a real, like, again, everything in this movie is so... Like, it's like, oh shit, we need to, convenience. Like, and there's a space pack in the sky. That's how he'll survive on that. Like, it's all like, and there's bees. Like, it's like, there's no, like, he wouldn't like live amongst bees.
His daughter, meanwhile, leaves to get groceries and never returns to the movie.
Kiza.
She never returns. She's like, I'm gonna go get groceries. He's like, I'll come with you. She's like, no, I'm okay. Never returns.
Never returns.
She's part of the 600 pages there.
Then once they realize that she's royalty, they're like, okay, good. We called space police. They're going to come pick you up and we're going to bring you to like, we're going to bring you to Space Brazil.
Yeah.
The Terry Gilliam movie, Brazil, wherein Terry Gilliam is a character in what looks like a, it looks like Gringotts in Harry Potter. It is like a, bureaucratic nightmare.
Even though I got all these cool shit, I still got to deal with all the bullshit that we got, bro.
We totally glossed over the Field of Dreams action fight sequence.
Yeah, go ahead. It was terrible. The only reason is because it's terrible.
the original trio of aliens with the alien with the feather mohawk and the chick with the two blue hair eyes, that they come out of nowhere and they unleash their invisibility cloaks and they're here and then they're fighting again. And then there's a dude with
Do we know?
No.
Titus did or whatever.
Titus hired Channing Tatum.
Yeah, exactly. He hired both, I think.
Oh, he did.
Or maybe the girl. The sister hired those people.
Oh, I thought it was Eddie Redmayne.
No, Eddie Redmayne had the dinosaur.
Eddie Redmayne. Yes, the other brother who wanted to marry her hired Channing. The dinosaur guy was Eddie Redmayne.
But who
and
is
sister. And the sister must sister. Have hired
the
other
sister
one.
Hired the mohawk dude.
The guy with the mohawk, which is Featherbeard, right?
Featherbeard.
He has feathers for a beard. Yeah. He has a goatee made of glossy black feathers.
Yes. It's like if Sylvester Stallone's goatee in The Expendables put feathers on that. And that's how bad it looks.
It looks truly insane.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But why are there so many sci-fi space movies that use, like, cornfields as their settings?
Oh, no. Because at the very end of that action sequence, as they're flying away, you see
crop circle.
That's how it happens. They're trying to cram in everything. Everybody who says that they saw an alien, everyone who got probed, they actually did, but they're the ones who remember.
You're right.
Crazy people aren't crazy. They're the sane ones. They saw it. Oh, brother.
But I mean, there's the M. Night Shyamalan movie with aliens in the cornfield. There's Looper.
Here's what's awesome.
Everyone has their great explanation for crop circles.
This is what's beautiful is I have a quote here from, I wrote down from Mila Kunis. When they're in the car, when they're driving to Sean Bean's farm with the bees, Channing knows how to drive a car too, apparently. And Mila Kunis, this is after we met the sibling trio and all that.
Yep.
And she said, literally, I was watching this with my buddy and I was about to say this exact same thing, but Mila Kunis says this is verbatim. I just need to know what in the hell is going on here.
Yes, I wrote that down as well. It's a great line. It really, and she says something at the end of the movie, she says at the end of the movie, and it's not, this is, I'm not jumping ahead to anything crazy.
Sure.
She says, I just don't understand what has happened, basically.
Yeah.
She says a line at the end of the movie that's like, I don't understand exactly what's happened.
No. And that was maybe the cameras were rolling in between takes. what are we doing?
And it's like, back to the Chicago thing. So at the end of the fight scene in the Field of Dreams in the cornfield, they leave a crop circle, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the chase and the tearing apart Chicago, it ends with obviously a spaceship sliding in a parking lot, tapping a car, and a car alarm going off.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
not above some great jokes. I'm surprised that when that car alarm didn't go off, it didn't like spook a cat to go, and then the cat runs across a record and goes, scratch. We started this whole thing talking about Eddie Redmayne's performance.
Yes. Oh,
so,
yes. Oh, we have to get there.
So now,
I keep forgetting about
him. It's so confusing. This movie is so full of...
So confusing.
It's so full of confusing elements that need to be parsed, but we need to hear Eddie Redmayne.
And I will say one thing,
too. Eddie Redmayne, as I keep wanting to call him.
The one thing we talk about, the whispers going on, Eddie, I think, really sets a tone for the whispers, but I put it on subtitles at one point, and there's a lot of subtitles of inhale.
Yeah.
Inhale. I saw inhale 5 to 6 times.
Wow.
Inhale.
Yeah.
So like, someone's like, oh, yeah.
They let you know how hard he was breathing in case you can't hear it.
Maybe he was just prepping to play Hawking.
Look, he definitely.
Hawking's computer voice would have been better.
Here we go.
Life is an act of consumption.
Voldemort.
Harry.
It is.
Is to consume.
What do you think, Harry?
Human beings on your planet are merely a resource waiting to be converted into capital.
About the cadaver!
I create life!
That's his loudest line.
And I destroy.
Harry. Peter Pettigrew.
So that is, oh man.
Oh, I just wish he would speak parcel tongue. Come on, guys. It's
ironically enough, he probably will in the new Harry Potter movie.
Oh, that's right. He is. Yeah,
he is. Very true. It is his performance. I will say this, his performance belongs in the movie. Because he is doing stuff. He's doing a performance that is as bonkers as the movie is. Part of the problem with Mila Kunis and Channing Tatum is they are acting normally in completely abnormal situations.
Channing Tatum, it's interesting because I don't necessarily get, like, I don't, he's bred to be a hunter, but then he was, like, he's become a lone wolf. But he doesn't seem to really have that much. He goes, I'm more dog than you, but doesn't seem to have any dog-like qualities at all.
No.
Mila Kunis. No, you're wrong.
He had ears.
He smells,
sniffs
that, he smells
and
that paper.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
He sniffs and hears so well.
Yeah.
The only person that hears better is Pretty Girl with Mouse Ears.
Yeah. But he also was a dog with wings, by the way. Don't forget, he once had wings.
Now, but that, I think he was given wings.
He was given wings, yeah.
Because him and
cybernetic.
Yeah, him and what Stinger are given wings.
To be these army
to be these
men.
Kind of bad, badass dudes.
Their wings were taken from them.
Okay, so they're like the Wizard of Oz wings, like the monkeys with wings.
Yes,
I mean, they're an army with wings.
I mean, look, again, we talked about Mila Kunis just willingly going like, all right, yeah, I'll marry you. Yeah, all right, I'm into this. All right, yeah. She jumps into everything head first.
She says she agrees to marry. She agrees to marry Titus, one of the brothers. Apropos of nothing.
I actually rewound it. I was like, what did I miss?
I thought the
same.
What
is going on? Nothing. She's like, I'm in love with. I felt like, is she in love with him?
He says it's not about love. This is just like a transaction. And she's like, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah. What?
And then she gets off the ship going, quoting law.
Where did she learn that?
She read it. Because remember, we're skipping over a couple of things. First,
we're skipping over the DMV.
We're skipping over the DMV part, and we're also skipping over if I watched it and if what I looked at on my television screen resonated correctly. After the fight in the Field of Dreams, the spaceship leaves to go to this other planet.
Yes,
right. And if what I watched actually happened, Channing Tatum is hanging onto the outside of the spaceship the whole time.
Correct.
Yeah.
So he survives space travel on the outside of a ship.
And has no need for oxygen, but later on in the movie, he needs it.
So
I couldn't wrap my head around
he
that.
He literally is hanging on. That'd be like me sitting in the back of a pickup truck. Across
now,
space
here's
time.
The one thing I will say. Here's the one thing I will say. And I don't know if this is right. It did appear as though he was hanging on to landing gear that was retracted up into the ship.
Got it.
And that I'm assuming must have come down again when they entered the next planets.
Okay.
But so
that
maybe
was part
he was
of the 600 pages.
Maybe
then.
He was inside the cargo hold.
But the
cargo hold
is not pressurized.
No, if it's like a plane,
I don't know.
Still
the technology
survive.
Is so much for
space. There is so much space. They also go through a wormhole, a portal,
right?
Just like he and Mila Kunis just in spacesuits.
Yeah.
They survive like traveling through a space time porthole.
And then sometimes they were like, I just didn't understand, like,
any
it was
of it?
Beautiful. Yeah, no, I didn't understand. I mean, it was beautiful to look at, but there's like one
beautiful.
Scene when they're like, when she's with Eddie Redmayne and it's the final plan, they're just like staring at like, Just space.
Yeah.
And she's there. And there's a lot of
And they're on
there.
Jupiter at that point, which is pretty weird. She's named Jupiter and they are on Jupiter.
It's true.
That's where his whole setup is. But then what? Channing Tatum. Oh, and now I'm just jumping ahead to the end, so fuck it. But she originally goes
there.
To see the
I mean,
sister. She originally goes to see the
it's
sister.
Three
she,
little pigs.
She watches her take a naked bath.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. And the woman is like repeatedly just full frontal in. We don't see that.
We don't know.
But we just see top butt. Looking at Mila Kunis, like, can you believe this?
Yeah.
Can you look at this? Look at my entire nude body.
Yeah.
You know, and Mila Kunis is like, again, unfazed. Like, if you're Jupiter Jones, like, raised in like a house full of people, you'd be like, hey, put some goddamn clothes on. But she's like, okay, cool. I'm just like looking at your straight up naked body.
Again, she just is, she's cleaned so many toilets. She is not afraid of anything.
Yep.
She's like, I've seen it all. I've seen a dirty, I've seen rich people's dirty bathrooms. I've cleaned blood, a semen, you name it. I've cleaned it. This doesn't faze me.
So she sees this sister take a bath in the Fountain of Youth. Which is made out of humans, right?
Yes.
It's made out of creatures.
It's a human essence bath.
Yep.
And
she says,
mix up the goo? I don't know.
The words out of her mouth, this is a sentence quoted by Mila Kunis, who's nonplussed completely. She's just accepting all of this. Are you some kind of vampire race?
Oh, yes, I wrote that down. The vampire. Right. Again, just jumping. And she goes, and then she goes, no, but you Earth people have a lot of stuff. Oh, we're the basis of those Earth stories. Like, how do you know Earth stories? Like, are you that versed in Earth? Like,
how else are you going to mine humans for, you know, Pond's gold dream?
I don't even understand.
You gotta know their idiomatic expression.
It's like a big proactive ad.
Yeah, just Jessica Simpson gets out.
After that, they're inquiring how old each other are or whatever.
Yes.
And then she's like 14 centuries or whatever, or 1400
millennia.
Centuries.
Millennia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then again, nonplussed, certain things she's concerned about and she doesn't understand. Yeah. Like after this girl, after the sister who just got even younger, Mila Kunis, she tells her she's like 14 millennia. And Mila Kunis says with like an inquiry, like she doesn't believe her.
Yeah.
She's like, you're 14,000 years old?
Yeah. And she and the her answer is my mother was 90. at which point Mila Kunis is like, cool, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Everybody is just cool with everything.
Yeah.
And what happens when you have a movie in which, and there are plenty of movies that we've done that are like just rotten with exposition, and it's like feels like it's dragging everything down. But part of it is in a movie without exposition, it feels like you're just skipping to the next set piece, to the next big thing, and none of it, you're not tracking anything.
Well, but to me, it's also like you can't set up in not even a world, a universe.
Oh, yeah.
With very minimal. I mean, it's like.
I feel like they probably. I bet the 600 page script, I'm willing to bet they wanted to make this a trilogy.
I'm willing to bet.
And that 600 page script was three movies.
I'm willing to bet it would have been actually a really good television series.
Battlestar or something, maybe.
Yeah, supposedly their new, like,
the Netflix show,
and the rumors are that it's really good.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
I have a feeling that this would have been much better served as a television series.
Because here's my issue with them.
I agree 100%.
I feel like continually they are, like, again, watch this movie in the background, you're like, oh, this looks awesome. Everything.
Gorgeous.
The costumes, the aliens. Yeah. And
except for the feather beard.
But I was like, I feel like they don't really have a handle on story. Like, you know, and besides The Matrix, which I felt like was really kind of beautifully contained, we were talking about this before we started recording. Matrix 2 is beautiful, but not as cool as, or theoretical. Like
it's too complicated. Yeah, everything's too complicated. Like, this movie, like, the first Matrix is a super simple movie. It's like, as a root idea and, like, a few ideas that sort of, like, build off of that. This is like me saying, I like milkshakes, so I'm going to have a chocolate milkshake. What goes good with chocolate? Bananas. Let me throw some bananas in there. What goes good with bananas? Strawberry jelly. What goes good with strawberry jelly?
Yeah.
I don't know, lamb. Let me throw some lamb in there. And by the end, you're literally drinking the entire contents of the grocery store, and it tastes disgusting.
It's exactly the mistake that Lucas made in the prequels, which is like going like, okay, yeah, you like this world, but now let's get into the nitty gritty of it. It's like, you just need to go like, because it's such a simple idea. It's like, girl who thinks she's nothing finds out she is the ruler of the universe.
Yeah. She is the one.
She is the one. And she now has to defeat these people who are trying to get rid of her.
Correct.
But it's. It gets
and
so,
she has a Han Solo kind of character. She has like all of these. It's all of these great kind of classic epic archetypes that are present in the movie, but that are they're constantly being put through the trials that look like what they should be being put through, but to no end. Like they're constantly being put into battles. kidnapped, all this stuff, but you're really not tracking the why of any of it.
No.
You know, like, you're not tracking the why of the different, what the different siblings want for the different reasons they want.
They just seem to want to get money, right? I mean, they seem like they're like
ultimately
in a,
yeah.
I mean, well, they're
like in a
of
game
will.
Of Farmville it's or like, something.
Yeah, like, it's this like,
is, it's basically mommy didn't leave me the earth. Mommy didn't leave me the earth. I want the earth. You're my old, you're my mommy, born again.
Here's the deal, though.
I'm going to kill you, mommy.
Yeah.
In defense, this will be the only time I defend this movie. That over, like, if it, this was a television show, like Game of Thrones in space with, like, Battlestar Galactica space aspects, arrows. That is not a, that's actually a great idea for a television show. These three alien
yes.
rulers
yeah, also,
are
yes.
angry at each other because their parents willed them things wrong. So many times do I, you know, one of the biggest
that's
things that, one of the biggest, not luckily not yet, but I've had friends who parents, you know, and stuff, and the wills
yep.
destroy families.
Sure.
So put that in space as a space opera, and that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Inherently. Oh,
I have absolutely,
inherently.
I agree with you guys completely. This, I feel like what is make what makes this movie not work is that there seems to be too much missing.
Yeah.
Yes. Too much connective yep. tissue, too much, which I'm not surprised there was a 600-page script. What's crazy to think about is that 600-page script was cut down into a two-hour movie, yeah. which is a third of that script.
Yeah. yeah. Not even, yeah.
And it just, and it feels like, yeah, it, there's no way to then, why don't you simplify? But I feel like this is a movie like all in editing. Someone's like,
yeah.
you get this, right? You yeah. get this. I mean, she's mad at this, right? You get that, right?
I have another quote. I have so many quotes from Milo Kunis' character written down just because they're,
well,
they amaze me. So after, while we're talking about, you know, parents dying and willing, she's meeting the sister, right? And the sister is like, she's like, she's immortal, obviously. She's yeah. 14 mm-hmm. millennials,
sure.
right? And then she brags about how old her mother was.
Right.
And then Milo Kunis goes, how did she die? And she's like, she was murdered. And then all of a sudden, Mila Kunis is so concerned. She's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Yo, she
and
lived
then
a
she
good
says,
life.
Then she says, did they catch who did it?
Yes!
Did they catch who did it? No.
Did they catch who killed your 90,000-year-old mother?
Well, she gets invested. She's like, she's in it. Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there that might disagree with us. It is now time for second opinions.
Second opinions. From top to bottom, crazy movies are fun.
They're not your first, but they're gonna be a second.
From the depths of Amazon, they come. Second opinions for everyone. Second opinions.
That is... We
beautiful
need a
song.
New one of those.
Yeah, we do.
I haven't heard that in a very long time. I think that's, is that four Second Opinions theme songs stacked on top of each other?
Look, somebody put it together. Look,
hey,
if you
thank you for putting that together, but if anybody can put something simpler together,
I'd like that.
That is jarring.
It was loud. It
we
hurt
don't
my
usually
ears.
Listen to it
no.
In the headphones.
No, it was
and I didn't
too much.
Care for it at all.
Not at all. Remix that. Somebody do it fresh. Don't even use
don't
us.
Don't start with that, though.
Yeah, no.
That is
use
aggressive.
Old clips of us talking about Second Opinion. Yeah,
that
no,
is very
no,
aggressive.
No, no.
And don't forget, guys, speaking of the remix, to go on the Earwolf forums and participate in the conversation that's going on about whether you like the new remix theme song or not.
All right, so here we go. These are some Second Opinions. This one is entitled... okay. This one is entitled To Be Forgotten is Worse Than Death by Alex Marzero. I felt this movie had a lot of action and did touch on the conspiracy that humans didn't come from Earth. If we evolved from apes, then why are apes still around? I enjoyed the movie. 5 stars. This guy's
all right,
poking
Mike.
Some holes.
All right, Mike Huckabee.
This is from Mike. Another Mike says this one is atheism, alien, Stalin, and Mila Kunis. Nice cinematography, decent AI, pretty good plot. Must see for sci-fi fans who enjoy looking at Mila Kunis. 5 stars. A lot, and then okay. These get into some of the crazier ones that I'm excited to read you. Okay, B Falcon writes. It's funny to me. I noticed that any movie that delves into the idea that humans are not native species of Earth are always met with a lot of criticism. Whereas movies that stick to the idea that we originated on this rock are met with universal praise. take a look at the Terra Papers. Ask yourself why a Nuki movie was prevented from being made. We're left with films like Jupiter Ascending, which only offers a glimpse of what might be possible. And the propaganda machine promptly launches a flop campaign to crush any hope of wide acceptance and perhaps awareness. But I digress. 5 stars.
What? Wait, let's look at the Terra Papers?
I don't know what the Terra Papers are. And he goes, and the Anunnaki, A-N-U-N-N-A-K-I movie, Anunnaki movie. And then this is another one.
That the Terra Papers are the hidden history of planet Earth.
Ooh.
This is very long.
You guys,
we are not alone. The astronomers are wrong. The scientists are wrong. They are here, but we cannot see them because they hide. They hide, .. in plain sight.
There we go. We got it.
Wow.
This is the best 5-star review ever coming up right here from Emily. My 8-year-old usually gives me a hard time when sitting through a movie. Mom, I have to go to the potty real bad. That type of thing. But this time around, he held it in because the movie was that engaging. 5 stars.
Wow. No. My kid couldn't shit. He was so into this movie.
My kid didn't want to take a poop.
Wow.
Oh, 5 stars. This movie will make your kids not shit.
This movie causes constipation.
So now for our last segment. And this is actually a first on the show. We're going to have a very live second opinion. Before we started recording, you came to us. You said, I love this movie.
I love this movie. I love this movie.
I want you.
Okay, first of all, yeah. Who are you?
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Josh. I work in the building. I'm in the office. I'm a producer at Earwolf.
Excellent. Josh, welcome.
How's it going?
Josh,
explain yourself
and you can't
justify your beliefs.
You can't use any other Wachowski movies as a baseline. Right. It's
no,
just
no, 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 no. This movie, standing alone, love this movie start to finish.
Okay.
To finish, Josh?
Just first of all,
there's no parts that you take issue with?
No, because on a scene by scene level, it's so much fun. Every single scene of this movie, like, I don't know if the plot makes sense. I mean, I don't know if there's actually any, like, real gaping plot holes. I don't think there's
any.
Wait, you don't think
there are any? John,
there's a lot
over this table, and I will cause you bodily harm.
It's all very Byzantine and crazy, but I don't think there's anything that really obviously stands out.
How do you differentiate the two brothers?
Well, there's the one, the Eddie Redmayne guy who talks really quiet and then gets really loud. He's great,
right? Okay. But what's the
difference between him and Titus,
yeah,
the handsome one?
They're just. I mean, they're just both fighting for control of their family's planets, right?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I guess that's
it's all right, yeah. You know, it's
how
like
does Channing Tatum breathe in space?
He's part dog.
But sometimes he can breathe in space.
Dogs can't breathe. By that reasoning, can dogs breathe in space, Josh? Well,
if humans and dogs breed together, then maybe.
Look, is that how you think Channing Tatum was created?
I can justify it in my head that way. They're all transhumans. Amazing. They're all like genetically designed.
How many times have you seen this movie?
Only once.
Only once.
Yes. I need to see it again when it comes back. I got to.
Don't
it again.
Think you should.
Yeah,
no,
you buy it.
Do that.
Especially buy it. After publicly proclaiming your love for it, because seeing it again may make you realize how awful.
No, look, I know it's. Look, I know it's a silly, campy movie. Obviously.
Okay.
I think that's what the Wachowskis were going for. They're trying to do kind of a Star Wars thing, a big grand space adventure.
For sure,
right? Yes,
for sure.
And it totally works on that level. Like the special effects, legitimately really impressive.
Let me ask you.
I agree.
There's a lot of beautiful stuff in this movie.
What is, if you had to think of one complaint, what would it be? One thing you felt like they could have done more.
Literally, he's saying 5 stars.
Yeah.
Everything he's saying, 5 stars.
No, I'm thinking about it.
One piece of constructive criticism. You know, one thing, fearless feedback.
Okay. Bees are royalty detectors?
Didn't like that.
I don't know.
You're
that
right.
That one pushes it.
What happened to Sean Bean's daughter?
Well, he's not going
to
remember
Sean
that.
Sean Bean's daughter? Can you tell us? You might not remember that.
I don't remember. She
went out for groceries.
She went out for groceries, never returned.
Yeah, no, I think there was a lot of plot threads they don't pick up. But part of that
But those are not plot threads are not picked up, but plot holes don't exist.
Part of that is I attribute to the studio, right? You know, I think they really cut the hell out of
fuck
this movie.
Them. Fuck
when
that
you see,
studio.
When you see the DVD extended, I'm waiting for the DVD extended cut because I think all these issues that you might have are going to be exposed.
Oh, I bet that's true. I bet we were talking about a longer version of this movie would likely have been much better.
Yeah. Undoubtedly. Yeah.
All right.
But there's also, but also on a thematic level, right? Yeah. Because it's actually kind of like a subversive, like, female empowerment arc for Jupiter's character.
Sure. Explain.
Right? Okay, so she starts...
Because June isn't here.
Yeah, right. we need to have
that. We need that female perspective.
Jupiter is this character who starts the movie making, like, a lot of really bad decisions. Like, she tries to sell her eggs, you know?
Yep. She's forced into it.
Well, she wants to buy a telescope.
Yeah.
Right, well, yeah. So, yeah, she needs the telescope, so of course she has to. She is forced. Right. But she makes a lot of bad decisions. She has to be rescued a lot. Eventually, she always wants to be special, and then she realizes she's, like, one of the most special people in the entire universe.
Because she does go back to cleaning toilets, and she's quite happy with
that's
that job.
Thing. That's what's subversive about it, is she realizes, like, it's kind of that kind of, you know, chosen one narrative. She doesn't need to be special. All she needs is her family.
And she does get the moment where she's like, I am not your damn mother.
Yep.
Yeah.
And which is, you know, she's
and by the end of the movie,
herself.
she doesn't need Channing Tatum to kick ass for her. She's kicking ass herself.
That is true.
Yep. And, I agree with
all
that.
All right, guys, look, I think we just turned around. Did we just turn around?
We love this movie.
Go see this movie. All right, well, yeah, you convinced us. I feel like we're in. We're all in. Any questions for our lover of this movie?
No, I'm good. He's done a good job. Good job, Josh.
Thank you, Josh. Yeah, thank you, Josh. That was Josh.
A live second opinion. I love that.
Well, gentlemen, it was fantastic to have you guys here. Anything you want to add before we wrap it up? Anything that we didn't touch on? I mean, I feel like we did good service to a movie that is bananas, bonkers.
It's really bananas. I will say this. It is the movie, if you really are paying attention, is frustrating. You know, it's frustrating to watch. But I will say this, and this is not an endorsement by any means, but it is truly gorgeous in so many ways that if you had this on in the background and you were half watching it, it would be fine.
To me, it's a perfect, like, if you owned a place where raves happen, you play this on all the big screens, people would be really psyched.
You mean like raves like in The Matrix 3?
Yeah. This actually was playing on the screen, right?
And it definitely, like, I felt like I was watching a live Magic Eye poster.
You're right. You're totally right. If you stare at it long enough, a plot comes out.
Yeah.
I just want, like, look, I'm torn about this because on one hand, like, nothing would make me happier than for studios to be green lighting $175 million.
Yes.
Crazy ambitious stuff. So it's like, yes, I want more movies like Jupiter Ascending because one of them will get it right.
But Mad Max is that to a certain extent.
Exactly.
Like, right? You know, it's like here's a vision that's really articulated and people really like it.
Absolutely.
This is a perfect example of a... when directors make their first predominant movie, that's amazing, right?
Yeah.
This movie is a perfect example of when studios don't give notes. Like this the whole production, if from day one pitching and selling and getting funding to coming out, studio heads were giving them notes, it would have been a lot better.
You're kind of right. There's that thing where it's like,
I don't know. Yeah. They would have
noted it so much to where there would have been a core plot and there would have been, do you know what I mean?
But maybe like, they would have edited it all out.
It could have been worse though. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, this was Warner Brothers, right?
Yeah.
And then Mad Max was Warner Brothers, right? And Inception was Warner Brothers. Like, that's what they do. They're like, all right, you're a badass filmmaker. Go make your movie.
And I agree with you.
And by the way, I'll take one of these if we get Mad Max and we get Inception.
That's what I'm saying. I agree with you in the sense of like, I am glad that they let this movie get made.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because this movie is ambitious. This movie is interesting. Like, this is not a franchise. This is not a Transformers. This is not a toy. This is a piece of original IP that is interesting and that is fascinating
and
that is a world.
And
could be for kids that isn't, you
was
know.
Was it PG?
Yeah, it was not an adult movie. Yeah.
Okay. I feel like in that sense, I am like genuinely like glad it got made. I want something like that. I wish it had been better. I wish it would have been more successful. But like, you're right in the sense that like, I'm glad people are still making stuff like this and not just continuing to put out like,
well, I think it's,
another franchised movie that's based on some property.
It's weird because we've done a few of these movies on the show where it's like Winter's Tale, Zardoz, where these are good filmmakers that just are like, oh, all right. Like they have this big idea, and it's and the movies are not able to like I think hold because like I want to create a universe, and then I want to do everything. And Star Wars, in many respects, is very kind of very small.
Yeah.
It's you don't really and over the course of the three movies, it's like and that's well, the that's world.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
This movie it definitely
it should have maybe all stayed in Chicago. In a weird way, or
two planets, and you don't have because they showed way too many locations for the idea of it. And when you think about it, it is Star Wars. You didn't bring in any of the family ties until the sequels.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you had the bad guy and the bad government, which would have been one of the siblings.
Yeah,
and they're about to harvest the Earth, and they want to kidnap her. That's the plot of the first movie. Saying, they didn't set this. They didn't.
Where would you even go in the second one? Because you'd have to introduce all new bad guys. Like, oh, here's another race that we didn't tell you about.
I would be curious, and maybe it's just bad shame on us for not doing enough research, but I would be curious if they originally had wanted this to be three distinct movies.
I think they wanted it to be
600 pages. You've got to be thinking three
movies.
No, I know that they wanted it to be a franchise.
Yeah.
But maybe they had three 600 page scripts.
That would be amazing.
Well, I think I would recommend – I think you should check it out because it is interesting, but I think there's a lot of fast-forwarding to be –
Yeah, I agree. It's worth watching, but it's going to frustrate you.
Yes.
It's not terrible by any means.
No.
It's just – it's frustrating because – I feel like it's frustrating because it could be good.
And
that's a heartbreaking thing to realize.
And there's
like,
a lot of
this could be good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a glorious mess.
Yeah,
is I think the way.
There's a
yes, I agree with that.
There's a great comic book that the plot is vaguely similar to that the Luna Brothers did called The Sword.
Oh, really?
That I feel like it's totally Earthbound, but it's about sibling gods who are playing, you know, who are playing gods to humanity and all this kind of. It's a great comic.
I'm gonna check that out, guys. What do you got to plug? Get into the plugs. Franklin, go first. What do you got?
I'm plugging the Blacklist Table Reads.
Yeah.
It's the hot new podcast from Wolf Pop.
And there will be, by the time this comes up, there'll be three movies up there.
There'll be three full movies up there. We got a great one coming up after that. Lots of English accents. That'll be fun.
And really fun people are cast throughout the whole thing. Definitely check it out. It's on Wolf Pop, but you can go to get it on iTunes. Just type in Blacklist
Podcast. Just type in Blacklist Table Reads. You'll get it there. Go to the Blacklist website, which is blacklist.com with no vowels. BLCKLST.com.
Definitely check that out. And what do you got, Razzle?
We listen to my podcast here on Wolf Pop. Well, this is on Earwolf, but it'll be on Wolf Pop. It's the same family.
Picking Favorites.
Picking Favorites. It's a really fun chat podcast, you know, down, you know, nostalgia lane.
Jason won
so to
it.
Speak.
We'll have to have you on it. The one we did today. Yeah.
We got to have you on it.
It's
seriously fun. And then we have a really cool fan who does a recap page that's really, really cool.
That's great. I've seen that.
That's great. And then follow me on Twitter at my name is Razzle, then the number 2. Then if you have a room on your phone for another podcast, Today We Learned on the Nerdist Network. It's a podcast about knowledge and fun chats and laughing and all that type of stuff.
Awesome. Really you fun. Can I'll give a June plug right now. You can watch June on Netflix. Right now, June is doing a show called Grace and Frankie with Lily Tomlin and Martin Sheen and Jane Fonda and Sam Waterston, and she's great in it, and it's on Netflix all the time. You can check out my thing, SheerRL, which is recreations of TRL, but different. You can see that on YouTube, SheerRL. Jason, what do you got?
Well, while we're plugging Wolf Pop things, I did an episode of Crybabies on the Wolf Pop Network with Sarah Thayer and Susan Orlean, which was very fun.
Those are great.
I talked about things that make me cry, not including The Odd Life of Timothy Green.
I cried, by the way, at a State Farm commercial the other day.
Really?
Oh, boy. Got me hard.
Wow.
It's one, and I think maybe it's where I am in my life.
Was it J.K. Simmons?
No. It's one where it's like, it's a couple, they're together, and they're like... they're dating and it's fun. They're like, we're never getting married.
Oh, I saw
and
that.
Like, we're never having kids. And it's like, we're never doing this. And it's like, I was like, oh.
And then she's like, he's like, we're never having another kid. And she goes, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And then at the end, it's like, I've never
been happier.
Yeah, I've never been happier. Yeah.
It made Here's me cry. Made me cry even think about it. Did you guys know the State Farm jingle, Like a Good Neighbor, Stay From There?
Yeah.
Was written by Barry Manilow?
Really?
Well, I did not know that.
Barry Manilow.
That's
getting
amazing.
That money. All right. Listen to these podcasts. There's so many good ones. And if we missed anything, you must tell us. Go to earwolf.com. Leave it on our forum page. A big thank you to everybody here at Earwolf, our clip puller, Avril Haley. Give it up to Nate Kiley, who does all of our research. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.
Well, folks, it is National Coming Out Month. Let's just stretch it out to the whole month. What do you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you should know about our podcast. I'm Dave Holmes.
I'm Matt McConkie.
We host Homophilia.
Right here at Earwolf.
Uh-huh. It's a queer comedy party where we grill queer celebrities on what they're loving and who they're loving.
We have in-depth, eye-opening, and hilarious conversations about everything from our guests' pop culture obsessions to their personal experiences with dating and sex and love.
Mm-hmm. You get to know a deeper, a more personal side of your favorite queer people, like John Lovett from Pod Save America,
yes.
Margaret Cho, Rhea Butcher, John Early.
John Early was here.
Trixie Mattel. I mean, we have had...
Those people were all guests on our show.
I know.
Are you kidding? Dan Savage was a guest on our show.
Dan freaking remember Savage. That? Do you remember when Brian Moylan told us the story? I mean, I'm not even going to get into the story right now. But listen, Brian Moylan tells a story that'll curl your damn hair. Episodes are released every single Friday just in time for your gay weekend.
Guys, listen and subscribe to Homophilia now on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you listen.